We're here recording a podcast for Secrets, Sounds, and Solitude. And I'm sitting with Jacob Wheeler, brother of New York Mets pitcher Zach Wheeler. He's got quite a bit to teach us about his artwork as well as his battle with life and why he's here at the cannabis convention in New York City at the Jacob Javits Center. I'll turn it over to Jacob.
Yeah, so I'm here the end of this week, through the weekend, to display my medical cannabis series. It's not something I've ever done before, is done any kind of cannabis art, but learning the things I've learned about the medical benefits of cannabis and the crisis with the opioid epidemic, I thought it was important that I decided to attempt to create something that would help bring light to it in a way that is palatable but also strong. And so I created that recently, finished it, and have a few pieces on display here. I displayed the three pieces also for the first time Wednesday night at Ulan in Chelsea, at the Normal Formal, which was precluding this event. And it's got some really good reactions, and people relate to it in a lot of different ways. But
right. You discovered your mental illness. You said you had a heart condition at 8 years old?
Yeah, I developed a heart condition at 8 years old. And
you think that brought you to mental illness, or you think the mental illness may have caused it?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. I asked a few different doctors I've had over the years, when I was first properly diagnosed in my early 30s, late 20s, I asked, about my mental illness and if I would have had the severity of the issues, if any of the issues, if I didn't have the heart issues. And they said that, I may have been prone to have some bipolar stuff, but it probably would have never reared its head, or at least not near the magnitude that it's affected my life if I never had the physical issues that I've had.
Right, right. So, as I mentioned before, I think you're a hero for coming out and speaking. You're a celebrity's brother. As far as I'm concerned, you're a celebrity as well as an artist. I want to see your art take off. Let's talk a little bit about the three pieces that you have here. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing one, a nurse. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, so there is a, I think with a, maybe a third of the photos from the series have to do with, if not half, have to do with a nurse. And it's a vintage nurse outfit from the 1950s. And it's kind of a play, and all of the pieces with the nurse in it are kind of a play on, you have the idea she may be taking a break.
Right.
She's in her nurse's outfit, and she has a joint in her mouth. She's lighting it with a candle, but she also has an apple next to her, a red apple. The saying, was it an apple a day keeps a doctor away? And so she's in her nurse's outfit. There's an apple there. But there's also, the connotation that an apple carries in the cannabis community of if you can't find your pipe or your bong when you're a kid, you go cut a hole in an apple and you smoke out of an apple. So
right.
You have the symbolism there, but also it's also there. Even if somebody didn't know that that's what people have used apples for in the past, they know that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. And the apple's sitting there, and it's all, it goes along with the health of she's a nurse and she's lighting, she's lighting the joint in a dark room in her nurse's outfit.
Right. So what's wrong with your heart exactly?
My heart now, it's so from the age of 8 years old to put it simply, the age of 8 to 28, I had a condition. It was a type of tachycardia that's really common. It's SVT, supraventricular tachycardia. Mm-hmm. And it's very common, but I fell into a one percentile less than one percentile of some issues within that they couldn't cure. So much so that out of the first four procedures, they thought they cured me.
Okay.
But I had so many extra pathways that they would block some off, and it would just find some new ones. The procedure I had that six times was 99% curable, and most of the time you can have it one time. Some people even grow it out of the issue, but and then I played sports on top of that, and I wouldn't tell anyone when my heart was beating over 300 beats a minute. I just kept going and going.
Wow.
And going, and I knew what I was doing.
Do you think that was part of the bipolar?
I've never asked myself that question. I think it was living that way may have spawned or caused those issues later on with my mental illness. I didn't want my life to be any different than anyone else's as a kid, right? You just
right.
want to be a kid. You want to be normal, so you don't want to set yourself apart. But there is self-destructive behavior inside of some of the bipolar stuff I deal with, and you know, later on in life in my late teens, some of that probably reared its head with inside of playing sports with my heart beating rapidly.
Let's talk about sports a little bit. You're a big guy. You look like you're in perfect shape. Obviously, your brother and yourself have great genes for the sports field. What sport did you play?
I played baseball and basketball all the way up until high school ended. Well, I say that. The doctors didn't let me play baseball my junior year and didn't let me play half of my senior year of basketball. My heart was just getting so bad that it was like, you know, fighting tooth and nail just to be able to put the uniform on. So, but I have two younger brothers. One is 2 years younger than me. He was drafted by the Yankees out of high school and had to retire maybe after a four-year career in the minor leagues. He was a better pitcher than Zach, who currently pitches now with the Mets.
Wait a second. Don't say that too loud.
Yeah. You know, he Adam 6'7", threw about 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
In the minor leagues, and then got hurt before he could get pulled up. But he would come home and teach everything that he was learning to Zach, who was just 7 years younger than him. So
right.
Adam was 21 learning from Jose Contreras when he was playing, and Doc Gooden was his mentor. And he would come home and teach Zach as a freshman in high school the things that little things he was learning.
Right.
Zach as a freshman was learning these little things that a professional baseball player knew.
Right.
And was applying it. And, you know, Zach wasn't the strongest kid until he was about 15. He finally started getting bigger and stronger. So
right.
He took all that in and already, you know, he had a head start in front of everybody. And plus the talent, the natural talent and hard work.
So we're here at the Cannabis Convention, and you bring up a familiar name to towards sadness with Doc Gooden getting involved with drugs. Your fear, is it not only the heart, is it the mental illness for using marijuana? Do you think it's going to be a gateway to something else once you get started? What's your real fear with it?
Oh, you know, my only fear, I think, when it comes to using cannabis for my mental health would be even my physical health. I still have heart issues. It's just those original ones that caused the problems are gone, but now I have three other conditions. But it's you know, the physical and the mental. My fear is taking something just like any kind of medication, something that you didn't take the right thing, and now the side effects are bigger than the benefits. You know, I don't want that to happen. That can happen with anything. You know, and so that I think my biggest fear is just I don't want to make any situation I have going on worse.
Right. I felt the same way. You know, you may not realize this, but I've had two heart attacks. I'm on 10% of my heart. I have a defibrillator in me right now. I'm officially heart failure. And I was passing through these aisles, and people were saying, CBD, CBD, try one. I said, well, do you know it's not going to affect my heart in a negative way? They were unable to answer that question.
Right.
So I would say you're probably concerned the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's good that they weren't able to answer it. And they told you they couldn't answer it.
Right.
They could easily tell you, oh, yeah, it's heart friendly.
Right.
They could easily do that. But it's good that they told you that they don't know.
Right.
You know, and it lets you know that you're dealing with the right people here.
Yeah, good people here.
Yeah, they could easily tell you, yeah, it's heart friendly.
Yeah.
You know, and then what?
Yeah, no.
The hard way?
Yeah, no, I think the industry is acting responsibly.
Yeah.
They know that there's not enough research on CBD. And yet there is hope for a person like you that says, hey, wait a second, maybe this can be an alternative to the medication that I'm forced to be on.
Yeah, and I think it's well on its way there, and I think the research is rapid. And it seems like, you know, the people who are doing it legally and who are well intended are doing it responsibly. And it's full force, and I'm excited to get to the point to where I can reap the benefits of things, you know, and to where it affects me in such a way that I don't have to worry about taking pills every day.
Right.
It might not get to that point, but I know it could at least help benefit me in some way.
Sure. I mean, the pills are not going to help your liver much.
No,
that's for sure.
And I've been on meds since I was 11 years old.
Yeah. 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 Really watch that. Your sports career and mental illness, when you lost, what was it like?
So when I lost a sports career?
No, when you lost a game.
Oh.
A shot.
Well, you know, I wasn't aware that I had mental illness when I was playing. It was mostly just the physical stuff that I dealt with. But I was, because of my physical limitations, because of my physical ailments, I worked harder than anybody I knew. I practiced harder than anybody I knew. My life took care of me in those situations.
Right.
If I ever was taking a game-winning shot, I made it.
Right.
If I was ever on the mound in the bottom of the ninth, I did my job. I was lucky that way.
Right.
And it was, if not for my mental and especially my physical struggles as a kid, I wouldn't have practiced as hard as I did. I wouldn't have had that mental fortitude to go out and just do it. I would have swayed and worried and maybe missed some game-winning shots or I gave up some game losing runs, but I didn't do that. I look back and I was lucky. A lot of it's luck, but luck comes from
skill.
It comes from preparation and hard work, and I had plenty of that.
Right.
In spite of, my heart issues.
How did your parents take the fact that you had mental illness? Were they devastated?
Okay, so the heart issues, they always, they dealt with that behind closed doors. They didn't want a kid seeing, So to me, it was all I knew. That's all I knew. I was 8 years old when my physical stuff started. So when the mental health stuff, kind of arose, it was scary for them in my early 20s because I was diagnosed with depression and I was dealing with suicidal thoughts, and I was, and a lot of it was because I was misdiagnosed. I wasn't on the right meds. You give a mental patient the wrong medication and he's suicidal or has suicidal thoughts, it can make it worse if he's not diagnosed correctly.
Right.
When I finally got diagnosed properly around 30 years old, about 8 years ago, I could tell that it was an adjustment for my parents.
Right.
But they read the literature, they asked questions, and they paid attention to me.
Right.
And paid attention to me in the way that from day to day they could kind of see maybe what kind of day I'm having. They would ask me questions. At first it looked like tiptoeing, and I respect them for that. But I also, within myself, because I care, I learned how to try to stay self-aware in those moments and communicate with them if I started feeling a little odd. Hey, I'm kind of feeling this way today. Sorry if I'm a little short. Or, hey, I won't come around for a couple of days. I'm not feeling right. Feel free to check in if you feel like you're worried about me. But they've been great. I couldn't ask for them to be any better about it.
Do you miss the sports world?
Luckily I've had two brothers who played for a long time, one that still plays. If I didn't have those two brothers that played after I graduated high school and couldn't play anymore, I don't know what would have happened to me. I was able to live vicariously through them and still can.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're your best friends, your brothers?
Absolutely. I mean, they're best friends, and then there are brothers. You know what I mean? And,
right.
Yeah, I can rely on them for anything. And
that's
we're each other's support staff.
That's great.
For sure.
So any Major League Baseball art coming from you?
Not now. You never know where art's going to take you. The only thing that's attractive about any celebrity involvement would be...
What about crowd involvement?
What do you mean?
I mean, I've seen your work. It's amazing and poignant and moving.
Mm.
Would you ever turn your camera on the crowds to... The pain that you see,
yeah.
Anything like that. I mean,
I don't know. There's that's the good thing about art. And if you're truly open as an artist or a poet like me, you're open to any possibility. And the only reason I share my poetry and my art, the only reason I ever share it, if it's benefiting a charity or it's benefiting a cause, I won't share it otherwise. So anything is always an option. Always.
Right.
Always an option, yeah.
That's good. You want to share any of your poetry now, or you feel like just relaxing?
I create the visual art, so I don't have to read the poetry out loud.
All right.
But you can read some of the poetry and see that art at jacobwheelerart.com.
Great.
You can click on poetry, read poetry.
Have you ever considered working with a songwriter?
In my early 20s, I had friends who were in the music industry, and they said, your poetry is beautiful. You should write music. I tried. It might be easy for some people, but I respect songwriters because I cannot write music. I tried. Now, I can understand, someone like Jim Morrison, who was a poet first and ended up turning his poetry into music, I respect it so much because I've tried bridges and choruses, and it's over my head. I can do what I do, and I do it well because I've been doing it a long time. Didn't go to school for it. I just started writing when I was 8. It's like anything. Once you do something for long enough, you become good at it. And I became good at that. But I gave music writing, writing music a shot, and it lasted about 2 weeks. And I was like, no, I'm gonna leave these to the musicians.
And you knew. You knew it.
Yeah, it wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you.
I was a fraud to myself very quickly.
Well, Jacob Wheeler, I appreciate you being here with me. Please tell us where we can find all your information.
You can look at my the full cannabis series that is on display now here at the expo. You can look at it at my website, as well as the rest of my art and some of my poetry at jacobwheelerart.com. I'm also on Instagram at jacobwheelerart and Facebook under jacobwheelerart. But most things can be found at the website.
I appreciate your time very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.